Hi, everybody. It's episode 502 of PodQuest.
Hey!
It is Wednesday, March 26th, 2024. I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
And Walnut.
Yeah, I'm here.
It's Tuesday, but that's...
I did say Wednesday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot.
I wasn't paying attention.
I forgot to do the cross out Wednesday and write Tuesday, so I just read the fucking thing. Which, hey, at least I can read out loud and not, like, stumble over my words or anything.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to take a win where I can get it.
It's all about finding the little wins in life.
Exactly. Exactly. Man, it feels like a Wednesday, though. I will say that.
I wish it was, but...
I mean, it doesn't really.
I don't know. It does for me. I don't know why. Like, it just feels like... Maybe not a Wednesday. It just doesn't feel like a Tuesday. It doesn't feel like I've only had one other day of work this week.
I mean, any day that's not Friday feels like it's the worst day ever. So even Fridays usually feel like the worst day ever. But that's just a me problem.
Yeah, that is a you problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do not hate my job the way you do, but like I understand why you do.
Yeah.
Like you rightfully hate your job. So
my job is lame.
I mean, it's worse than lame. Let's not mince words.
Yeah, I have. So I do automated processes and some things, and it kind of takes me out of commission when I'm running these automated processes, and today I had a large one that was going to take me about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I'm getting emailed like, "Do you have capacity for this? Do you have capacity for that? Can you do this? Can you?" I'm like, "I have to do this thing that's going to take me mostly out of commission. Like, if it doesn't pertain to being on our main web thing, then sure, I could probably work on it while this thing is running. But like, if it requires me to be in our main service, that's going to take me longer to do because I don't have our main hub." I have to use our emulator, which means I have to type everything in, and I don't like doing that, and it's slow, and it's painful to do, so please don't. But if you need to send me stuff, you can, but also, I can't stay late today, so figure that out.
Like, I mean, the one correct day answer is you can't stay late any day.
Honestly, lately, I don't mind staying until 6-ish if I have the work to stay till 6-ish. I don't mind getting a little bit of overtime because, like, you know, I could use that money. If I get 5 hours of overtime a week, that's $150 extra on my paycheck. So, like, let's go for it. But honestly, if I get offered overtime, five hours is worth it, or 15 hours is worth it. But anything in between 5 and 15 hours, not really worth it.
Which, yeah, like that's valid.
5 hours is easy to do. 15 hours would mean, like, I worked during the weekend and put in some decent amount of time. But if I'm only going to put in 3 hours on the weekend and take out a portion of my day to make 90 bucks, it's not worth it. But if I'm going to make 300 bucks and work, like, 10 hours over the weekend, then, you know, that's great. That's some good money.
Yeah, you know, I get that for sure. You know, like, oh, I was going to say something and just right out my fucking head.
I was almost given crap because when I took off a couple of weeks ago, they were like, "We're putting in for vacation time for you on Thursday and Friday." I'm like, "Put sick time in for me on Thursday." I'm like, "Wasn't that pre-scheduled? Like, it was a doctor's appointment. It was a procedure." And they're like, "Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay." Like, I almost had to fight to get sick time put in instead of vacation time for my sick time because it was pre-planned, which is just, you know. If your job in the United States or anywhere in this world, don't itemize time off. Just give them all their time off and don't give two shits about how they use it. There we go. That's my PSA. That's one of my PSAs for today.
Your company also sucks.
When it comes to PTO, this company is a little bit better, but we also don't get to roll over time or cash out time because it's
but
bullshit.
You also weren't allowed to take a day off because they did a bad job scheduling.
Well, I mean, somebody else took off for 2 weeks. And we only have 3 people in our team. It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. I trust me, I'm not trying to defend this company. I'm just trying to say, don't separate time off. And if you get 4 weeks time off, just get 4 weeks time off, whether it's sick time or not. And use the time however you want to use it. It putting limitations on PTO is what bothers me.
And move to Europe. Apparently some European companies they get as much PTO as they want.
You know, as long as I don't get a job that's unlimited PTO bullshit, then I'm generally happy. Unlimited PTO is the worst. Don't accept a job that's unlimited PTO.
Yeah, I think I think the difference is too, like, I usually don't even use all my PTO or sick days because I just don't need to. I don't hate my job that much, and I don't do that much throughout the course of the year.
I used to not, because I would take that money as like a sort of bonus at the end of the year.
Oh, because they would pay you out for it.
Because they would pay me out for up to like a week or something like that. I used to not take time off at all. Now I have to take time off. If I don't use it, I lose it. I don't get paid out for it or anything. So I just take random days off here or there. I'm considering taking off like next Friday, I believe. Or
me too.
Yeah, probably more like next Monday.
Me too.
Or something like that.
No, not next Monday. I'm sorry. Next Friday, though.
No. Well, the Monday after next. So
like the eighth.
Okay.
Me too.
Well, see, the thing is, the reason I was originally thinking of taking off, and I was going to ask you before you told us about your trip. I was going to ask you to watch Chase because my entire family's going to go up to northern New York and watch the eclipse.
Oh,
and they were
right.
Asking me to go, and I was going to ask you, and then you're like, "Oh, I'm going to Japan that same fucking weekend."
You're welcome.
And my sister's going away for her anniversary that same weekend. I don't have a dog sitter.
Take Chase with you.
I can't take Chase with me. My mom will have an anxiety attack every fucking minute of the day.
Sounds like a her problem, not a you problem.
But I can't afford a hotel room that'll be pet friendly. There's a reason I can't go, because I can't afford a pet sitter.
I mean, what if you just, like, covered the floor with food?
He'd eat it in one day.
Well, this is only like a one-day trip, right?
No, they're going from Saturday to coming home Tuesday.
Oh, so they're like actually taking like the weekend for it.
Well, the eclipse is on Monday, so you want to get there a few days before, because then you're going to have to deal with traffic when it comes to getting there the day of, and then you're going to want to find somewhere to be at early on Tuesday to be able to see the eclipse as best you can, and then you're not going to want to sit in the traffic to come all the way home on Monday, so you're going to just wait till Tuesday during work hours to come home.
I actually heard that apparently like it's actually going to be more visible further west, apparently.
They're going right within the line of totality.
Okay.
They're like up north. I can't remember where in New York, but somewhere in New York, they're going up there. I was going to go out to my friends out in Ohio, but again, I can't find a sitter. And yeah. So they live about an hour south of the line of totality in Ohio. So I was going to go out and we were going to go see it, but...
Yeah, I didn't even know there was going to be an eclipse until one of my clients told me last week.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often that we get them in the States, but it's two eclipses in 6 months, or two eclipses in less than a year.
Oh, I didn't know there was another one happened either.
It was back in September, October, that went up from, or that I think it went down, it went from West Coast to Louisiana. I know it touched in Louisiana, so I don't know if it went north from Louisiana or if it went south from Louisiana. I can't 100% remember. Probably north. Probably always goes north. I think they always go. I don't know. I don't know things.
Yeah.
It would make sense that it was going north and not south, but...
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that. Like, I could care less about space.
Space is cool, man.
Eh, it's fine.
Anyway, we have a podcast to get into.
Yeah, but we have, like, nothing to talk about, so this is fine. But, Rich, what's on the agenda?
Cobb Blade Power Washer Simulator. I want to have a rant about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
No, Cobb, you hate Red, it. You I, hate it.
I look, I just want to get... we'll get into it. Cobb read The Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett.
Yeah, that's it. That's the show. See you guys later. Thanks for listening.
Well, I mean, we got to do it still.
Oh, right. Forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, tell us about Power Wash Simulator.
Oh. So you shoot some water at some stuff and it gets clean. Back to you.
I mean, you're about right there. Have you played it yet? Have you played it, Drew? I know you have PS Plus.
No. Oh, I forgot it was a PS Plus game.
The F1 game was PS Plus for March. F1 24?
Yes, I did get all the March games.
Okay. I just remembered today because I got like the email, hey, last chance to get these. I'm like, I don't remember if I got them this month. But yeah, Power Wash Simulator. They released a bunch of DLC. So when I played it originally, I played it on Game Pass. But I grabbed there. It was on sale with all the DLC except for one on Steam, and it was Steam Deck compatible. So I grabbed it mostly because I wanted to play the Back to the Future one, because one of the DLCs is Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
and it's great. They did a fantastic job with it. So I'm on the fourth mission. Yeah, the fourth mission. So the first one is you have to clean the van that Doc uses in the first game, or first game, first movie, to, that like he was like staging stuff in for the first time travel test when he gets gunned down by the Libyans.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you wash the DeLorean, and then you go to the 1950 set, and you power wash the entire fucking front of the clock tower, including the inside of, like, the attic where, like, the clock mechanisms are.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then the next one is actually the 2015 set, and you're power washing the movie theater with the Jaws 19 thing playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping when it's fully clean, it does the Jaws hologram popping out of it, because that would be kind of cool. Because they did have the DeLorean actually like travel go like after you power wash it and everything like that, and it does. So whenever you finish that, it does like a time lapse of you cleaning the item. Once that was done, the DeLorean like peeled out and like drove away and hit 88 miles an hour and disappeared into time, and then left the trail of fire. And you could actually run up and power wash the fire to put it out, which I thought was fun. And then like, I want to say it was a minute later, the DeLorean reappeared just like in the movie. So that was fun. But as you're playing it, so have either of you guys played the base game? Like, Drew, you basically said you didn't, but Rich, you haven't played it, have you?
I've never played it. I've watched people play it. I know Power Watcher Simulator. I know what the game's about.
Yeah, so as you're playing like the base game, you'll get like little text messages from whoever's paying you to clean the thing, kind of like talking about like, hey, we need you to clean this thing, like, thanks for doing this, you're doing a great job, stupid shit like that. In the DLC, it's actually like a movie producer who's like telling you about the movie as you're power washing things, because this is supposed to be the set of the movie, and for some reason all of these brand new props are fucking disgusting.
Nice.
And it's just fun to see like these little text messages pop up. It's like, yeah, apparently this movie is about like some teenager whose best friend is like a fucking old man scientist. It's like, and I don't really understand this Back to the Future. Like, I understand the back part, but how do you go back to the future? Oh, that's what you're doing. Okay, then. But it's cool because when you turn around sometimes, depending on like the set you're on, they do have, you know, cameras and other movie set stuff kind of like strewn about, so it's not like they're trying to make you think you're actually in like Hill Valley or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. no, this is a movie set. Like, it's a very well done movie set, but it's a movie set, and they're gonna film a movie here.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I've been having a good time with it. It's a good mindless like play on the Steam Deck while watching TV game.
Yeah, Drew, this may help you want to play it. My dad fucking loves it. My dad loves it.
That seems accurate.
He'll tell us stories of like, oh, I was getting ready to play whatever golf game was PlayStation Plus a while back, and he'll sit there and he'll play a match, or he'll have a bad match, or get disconnected, whatever, and get frustrated. So he'll just go and play Power Washer Simulator, and all of a sudden it's time for bed.
Yep. Okay. Checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is, it's true. Like, you can accidentally lose a lot of time. Like, last night, I did not intend on, like, playing as long as I did, but I did the clock tower. Well, I finished the clock tower, because I had done just, the stairs and stuff the night before. But I finished that, and then it took me over to the movie theater. I'm like, okay, well, like, there's an obvious floor here. So let me just, like, put on the widest angle nozzle, and I'll just, like, power wash the floor real quick. Like, get that out of the way. And I did that, and then I'm like, oh, well, there's this, like, wall right here that's just... it's just a straight vertical wall. This will be real easy. Let me just pop on the extension and power wash this like wall real quick. And next thing I know, I've done like half the thing, and it's like 11 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I have to, it's bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's past bedtime.
Look, this might not seem that much, but it's a lot more than I was expecting. 128 viewers on Steam, or on Twitch. 128 total viewers on Twitch for Power Wash Simulator. People love that game.
Yeah. Back before Vice shut down Waypoint, some of the people there were doing, not, I don't want to call it regular because they only did like three or four of them, but they were playing that game in like the co-op thing, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And like, not just like the cleaning, like two people playing the game that haven't played it before, like discussing the merits of power washing and what the best way to go about it is.
It's top to bottom, of course.
Well, not even just that. Like, which nozzle should we use for this thing? Like, do we need soap? Like, should we buy soap? What kind of soap should we get? Should we get the multi-purpose cleaner, so if we don't use it all, we have extra? Or should we get, like, the surface-specific soap so that it just works better? Like, there's a lot going on. Should we upgrade our power washer yet? Like we have this money. Should we buy new equipment? Or, like, are we good still? There's a lot to this.
Also, 66,600 followers on Twitch as well.
Nice. Now, if you look at Steam, how many concurrent players are there right now?
I don't know. I'd have to go to, like, the Steam website thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Probably a lot. I'm going to assume a lot. Because, like I said, it had a sale. I think it was $20 for the base game and all of the DLC, except for one of them. But it was one of the ones where I'm like, I don't need that. I did get... There was a holiday bundle. There was the Back to the Future, a Tomb Raider one, which I'm curious what's actually in that one. And then I want to say Warhammer, maybe? Though actually, Warhammer might be the one that wasn't included. Let me see.
So the all-time peak on Steam charts is 10,000. Currently, a 24-hour peak is 2,200.
There's 312 people playing it right now.
That's not a bad number, though, for a game where you're literally just cleaning shit. Especially a multi-platform game, like it's on everything, and I think it's still on Game Pass. Maybe
I have 2,127 within the past 35 minutes on Steam charts.
Steam charts says 312.
Are you guys looking at different regions or something?
I mean, could be different.
I just went to Steam charts 48 hours currently. Right now, it's showing 2,132. You're looking at Power Wash Simulator.
Yes.
I don't know why we have separate numbers.
That is weird.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I am also seeing current players 2,127.
Maybe just whatever random ping missed a bunch. I don't know how like that updates.
Yeah, I actually have no idea either. Yeah, I don't see 300 anywhere. Like it's the 2,000 we're playing within the last 40 minutes, like Rich said. All-time peak 10,000.
Sorry, I was on SteamDB, because that was the first thing that came up when I searched.
Ah.
And, yeah, like, that had 312.
I wonder what the difference is, like, what they're pulling from.
I don't know.
But I'm curious. I just wanted to check and see what the other DLC I had was.
Well, there's one where you can clean the Mars rover.
Oh, and I got Midgar. That's right. So I have Final Fantasy VII DLC, Tomb Raider DLC, Santa's Workshop DLC and the Back to the Future DLC.
I wonder how Midgar works. I wonder what like are you cleaning the plate destruction? Like they drop the plate and then you have to clean that off.
Well, in one of them, you're cleaning the first boss of the game, whose name I'm drawing a blank on.
Oh, geez, the Scorpion tank.
Yeah,
nice.
Or at least something that looks very much like that. There's definitely one where you're cleaning a reactor. And one where you are cleaning the bar, not specifically the bar, although maybe this is the actual bar. Yeah, actually, I think this is the bar, like Seventh Heaven, because there's the pinball machine. Interesting. I didn't actually notice that that one of them was Final Fantasy. I will probably try that one next.
Nice.
So you watched the Hardy Daytona and Shinra Hauler, the Scorpion Sentinel, Seventh Heaven, the Mako Energy Exhibit, and the Airbuster are the things that you wash, or some of the things you wash. So that's cool. Good on them for making interesting DLC. I know the Back to the Future one, at some point you get to do the train, like the time machine train, which also kind of cool.
Yeah.
But let's see, what is the Tomb Raider one? Does it say? So for Tomb Raider, you do Croft Manor, an obstacle course, an iconic obstacle course, if that means anything. The Croft Manor Maze, a Jeep and a motorboat, and Lara's Treasure Room.
I mean, yeah, there was an obstacle course, I believe it was, I think it was Tomb Raider 2 or Tomb Raider 3, there was an obstacle course you run through in Croft Manor to train.
Like the original?
I think it was in Tomb Raider 2, Tomb Raider 3, probably.
I've never actually played any of the original Tomb Raiders.
They were great, man. Better than the modern ones.
I enjoyed the modern ones enough.
Yeah, modern ones are good games. The originals are better.
Yeah, I have to imagine the originals don't play as well anymore.
They just did a remaster.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I still imagine they probably don't play very well.
I mean, it's tank controls.
And that's why I'm imagining they don't play very well.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I really don't like playing games with tank controls.
I mean, they might have updated the controls, though.
You know what? That is entirely possible. You never know. I am not going to buy it and find out, but like, it's possible.
But Cobb, you can do a handstand by like jumping and grabbing onto the wall and then hitting like four different buttons at the same time, and she would do a handstand as she climbed up to the wall.
Right.
Or you could dive into water by like jumping and pressing like six different buttons.
You know who else can do those things?
Who?
Super fucking Mario.
Yeah, but I mean, this is Tomb Raider.
And he says wahoo when you do it.
She says, aha, vada vada vini venci.
Really?
She goes to Venice, and at one point it's the second game, I think, maybe the first game. She's like figures out a thing, and so it's one of the lines I'll always remember. But she finds a thing that she needed to find, and it gives her a hint to go to Venice, and she goes, "Aha, vede vane vini Venice," or something like that. I don't know what she fucking says, but like she says some Latin and Venice. It's great.
Okay, then. But yeah, Power Wash Simulator, still a fun game. Enjoying the DLC. We'll finish the Back to the Future and probably do the Midgar stuff. I might open up the Tomb Raider one, but I have no reference for any of that, so I might just play the base game again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good times. And like I said, it's on sale for like 20, or at least it was the other day.
Nice.
On Steam, it's on sale for 20. I have no idea about other platforms. Mm-hmm. I did not do research. But Rich,
yes.
Tell us why you hate Final Fantasy.
I don't hate it. I never said I hate it.
That's sort of what I was getting from you.
Why would I have as many hours as I have in this game if I hated it?
You're a masochist.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go on a bit of a rant about, and this isn't specifically Final Fantasy VII, but I'm just gonna say Square in and of itself, or maybe just modern RPGs.
So you hate video games.
You don't need your game to be over 80 plus hours with all content to be good. Please stop making your games this fucking long and stop adding fluff. So, first of all, Square, stop with the fucking minigames. Oh, I didn't mean to turn off my PlayStation. I meant to just put it in rest mode. Stop with the fucking minigames, please.
Yeah, that... Final Fantasy has way too many minigames.
There's too many minigames. There's people out there that'll say, like, oh, but Final Fantasy VII had a lot of minigames. Yeah, at the fucking Gold Saucer, it had minigames. Nowhere else did it have minigames. Yeah.
Theory, you had the motorcycle and the snowboarding were part of the game.
Yeah, motorcycle, snowboarding, CPR, and slap fight were the only four minigames outside of the Gold Saucer. And two of them ended up being Gold Saucer games.
Yeah, that like I don't even know if I would consider the CPR and the slap fight one because you can't redo them at all.
No, but there it's still a mini game. It is a mini game.
Oh, okay.
In all intents and purposes, it is a mini game. That's all I remember in Final Fantasy VII having mini games. I can't think of any other sort of mini game.
I mean, kind of the chocobo racing, sort of a little.
I mean, that's a mini game in itself as well. Chocobo racing is a mini game as well. So, but that was also in the Gold Saucer. I'm talking specifically outside of the Gold Saucer.
Okay, yeah, no, that's valid.
Like, because that's what the Gold Saucer is. The Gold Saucer is a carnival with mini games. They had the whole entire fucking carnival thing with the roller coaster ride, with the Moogle game, with the arm wrestling, and everything else. Like, there's a ton of mini games in the Gold Saucer. That's what it is. That's what it's for. But outside of it, there's none.
Oh, the crouch game. There we go.
Oh, the what's it called?
Squats.
Yeah, the squats. Squats. Yeah, there was like the squats in, and maybe there was like one or two other really minor things in what's it called? There was digging just outside of Midgar, which I don't even really consider that a mini game.
No, that was up in the north area. You paid the guy to go digging, and if you found like the rusty key that would let you back in the Midgar, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but like that wasn't even a mini game. You would just tell him where to dig, and he would dig. It wasn't anything else. Like I didn't really consider that a mini game.
Yeah,
but like in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, there is a mini game for fucking everything.
And you have to play them.
Some of them for sure. Like, where are you, Cup?
Oh, I have not played at all this week, or most of last week.
Okay.
I am about to go into the Gungaga.
So in Gungaga, there is a side quest you do. After you do the reactor stuff, you get this side quest. That you have to go gather soup supplies to make a soup.
I have that quest, I just didn't do it yet, obviously.
You don't have that one yet. You don't. You don't get it until after the reactor. I know.
Okay.
There is a side quest you do have. I know that.
Okay.
But there's no fast travel in Gungaga until after the reactor, which is probably why you didn't go do it. Because you can't fast travel to a chocobo point without a chocobo. And so you probably didn't run all... Yeah, because I tried to do that same side quest, but there was no... I couldn't fast travel to the chocobo point, so I didn't do it. Because I was like, fuck this. It's on the other side of the fucking map. I'm not running that far back. So there is a quest where you have to go get supplies to make a stew. You go and you get the vegetables. And then they're like, oh, well, you need to get this fancy salt. And you should get these special mushrooms. The salt, there's like bunches of rock salt, but with three different kinds. And you get a picture of the kind of rock salt you're told to get. That's not too bad. Because you can just find the rock salt. You can find three of them and you're good. You can get the best rock salt or you can get whatever rock salt. Either one is fine. The one that pissed me off were the mushrooms. Because you need to get three mushrooms. And outside of all three mushrooms are monsters you have to fight. Naturally. You're in a collection quest. You're in a fetch quest. There's going to be a monster you fight and then you collect what you're going and you go get the next one. But then you go to pick the mushroom. And it brings you down to the view of the mushroom. And you have a circle on the top of your screen, and it's broken up into quadrants. The first one is three or four quadrants. And you have to move the mushroom around to see where it's looser, and figure out from loosest to tightest the way to pull the mushroom out. And so you choose, bottom left, and then top right, and then bottom right, and then top left, or whatever combination there is. And then you press X to have him pull it. And if you did it right, he pulls the mushroom. If you did it wrong, the mushroom loses health and you do it again.
Yeah, they added too many mechanics to things that didn't need extra mechanics. I had the same complaint when I played the demo and initially talked about it. And you'll know the parts now. In that opening, in the flashbacks bit, when you're in the reactor for the first time with Sephiroth, there's that point where he tells you to go turn off the valve. And you have to spend like 3 minutes fucking alternating between the triggers with their stupid fucking tension cranked all the way up to turn a valve off. And then there's the crawling through the rubble at the end of it where you have to sit there for no good reason alternating the crawling and you can't just do it. You have to wait for the prompts. And it's like, these things aren't fun. They're not adding to the experience. They're actually making the experience worse by just adding unnecessary mechanics to it. Just let me go up, hit fucking triangle, and Cloud can open the fucking valve.
In the Nebel region, there is a quest line. There is four. This is part of the proto-relic quest line. There is a segment where there are three of those valves next to each other. You are a party of three, and there's three valves. You have to go turn them separately.
I have just stopped doing the proto-relic stuff. None of them are fun.
So, I enjoy... Here's the thing. I liked the Junon region. I liked the Corel region. I liked the Gungaga region. Gungaga was good because it was just combat.
So, I hated the Corel stuff with the Cactuars. It's not fun. I don't like it. And I probably wouldn't mind the Junon stuff if I'm in the mood for Fort Condor. It's just I don't want to having to do it when they were telling me to do it, and then it's now I just don't want to go back there. There's too many other things going on.
You can't go back there. Where you are right now, you still can't go back there.
Wait, why not?
Because you can't fast travel back to Junon. Unless maybe you can take the ship, but you cannot fast travel back to Junon. You have to go to Costa. You have to. So here's the dumb thing about the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to go to the thing that will take you back to the previous area. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you're in you're in Gungaga. In order to get back to Junon, you need to fast travel to the exit of Gungaga to Corel, cross the river, and then fast travel from that edge of the river of the Corel region to Costa de Sol to talk to the person to take the ship to go across to then be in the Junon region.
Yeah.
You don't have the ability to go all around the world until after Gungaga. Or until you're done with Gungaga. So like once you get to that point, then it's just you still have to go to a certain point and then tell it to load you up somewhere else. You can't just fast travel. But it's there's
a little bit of that, like I forgive some of that because the load times in the game are incredibly good with fast traveling. Yeah. And part of that is by them not having the entire fucking map loaded at all times.
Yeah, I don't mind having to do a little bit of that. Like that doesn't to me that doesn't add time because I'm not going back to other regions unless I have to.
Yeah,
there's not often that I'm going back to other regions, but when it comes to these side quests that they keep adding, or these not even side quests, these mini games and side activities that are just fucking pointless. There is an instance where you are running around and Kate Sith is the leader. I'm trying to be as vague as possible so you don't know when or where or whatever. But you'll figure this out once you get to this point. But he has this mechanic where he throws boxes. And he has to pick up a box and throw it. And you get to a point where you where you're like about done. And you're riding an elevator up. And halfway up the elevator, it's like, oh, emergency, security something, we have to check something. Like, the computer, the place you're in says they have to check something. And then you get a pop-up. Break 10 boxes, you have 2 minutes. There's no consequence to not breaking 10 boxes. There's no consequence at all. Why did you put this in here? Why was this there? Why did I have to break these 10 boxes? I broke 6, and it was like, all right, you're good to go. And then it just continued on. Why did you just add 2 fucking minutes to this game?
Yeah, like
in the grand scheme of things, I'm at 76 hours, so 2 minutes is negligible. But at the same time, I'm at 76 hours, and I have not beaten the game yet.
Now, I'm okay with a game being long if there's the content to warrant it. Like, if you were at 76 hours and it was all like worthwhile game content, like, is that a lot? Yes, that is a lot of time, but like you're at least getting your money's worth. But when there's at least 10 hours of that you have just wasted playing mini games that a lot of times aren't all that fun because the game fucking just forces you to do them, that so, it's like
so on Sunday I jumped on at 12:30 ish, something like that, 12:30, something around there, and I had just finished the some of the story stuff for chapter 9, or for chapter 10, which is Cosmo Canyon. I finished some of that. There was still some more left. I did that some more, which took about an hour. I then got out of Cosmo Canyon, or got out of that story stuff. They unlocked 3 side quests, the Proto Relic quest. So then I had to go do that. One of the side quests was Bugenhagen saying, hey, I need you to go to these points. Here's a picture of a map of the place I need you to go to. Here's where you need to go. Go to it. So then you need to open up the picture, find where he wants you to go, find where it is on the map, fast travel closest point there, and then go there. Rather than just him pointing at your fucking map and saying, go here. Which is frustrating. Why did we need that?
Like, they've done that sort of thing a couple of times.
Snips, or whatever, the fucking camera guy. You don't even need to take a picture. You go to the spot, you open the menu, press square, it opens up the picture menu, you close it, and there. Why do we need a camera mode? Why do you need to add fucking quest lines for fucking camera mode? It's stupid, because the camera mode, you can't do anything with except take pictures of scenery. There's no camera mode for combat. It's just camera mode for scenery.
Yeah.
And that's
people are weird, though, when they like doing that.
So I get done. I do the Bugenhagen quest and the other 2 side quests they unlock in Cosmo Canyon. I do the Proto Relic quest, and I, like I said, I started at 12:30. I started at 70% completion, total game completion, 70%. I get to the next region, the Nebel region, 6:00. I started 12:30 to 6-ish, maybe like 5-ish. I can't 100% remember. And I'm at 71% story game completion at 5 o'clock. I stream till 10:30. And I end that stream at 71% game completion with 0% completion into Chapter 11.
Have you considered completing more of the game while you're playing?
That's 5.5 hours of doing side content and side quests where you have to go back and forth and back and forth. And it's like, there's a collection thing. You have to collect all the collectibles in Chapter 11. You don't have to, but like, if you get 45...
I was going to say, part of this is you being unable to not do everything.
But I mean, like, you get 45 of the collectibles, you get a Kate says best weapon. Or a really good weapon. So, like, all right, the 45 wasn't the problem. It was that last one that I had trouble finding, but I found it. But it's still the fact that, like, it took me 10 hours, and 9 hours of that stream was side content, was no story. And then when I streamed yesterday, and I jumped on at 6 o'clock, and I started playing from 6 until 9:30, was story for 3 hours. And then from 9:30 to 11:30 was the Proto Relic and the 2 side quests that the Nebel region unlocked. Which, the fuck the Proto Relic and the Nebel region, because I'm just going to tell you now, you're going to hate it because you have to follow the men in cloaks.
I'm just not doing them anymore.
They move slow. They move slow. Like, and it was frustrating.
I didn't finish Junyan. I always forget how to pronounce it correctly. Junon. There you go. I didn't finish the one in Corel. Like, I didn't even finish the first part of either of those. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to go to the location in Gungaga. Like, I'm not doing those. But I also don't have the compulsion to 100% things the way you do. So I am happy to just not do things unless I feel like it. I will say this game does a bad job of spreading that stuff out, though. Like, in a lot of cases, you can't go do a couple side things, spend an hour doing story stuff, and then go easily back to the side things.
If you're doing story stuff, you're right. If you're doing story stuff, it's story for 3 hours.
And in some cases, that story stuff, it automatically takes you to a point of no return where you can't go back. So it's like, my option is to either spend hours like you did doing all of the side stuff without any story content happening, or skip all of that, do all the story, and then have to backtrack back to it later to do the side stuff. Like, it's just, they don't give you enough opportunities to, like, wander away. And to your original thing with, like, just, like, the minigame stuff, I was counting it while you were talking. You have to do, like, 7 minigames just in Costa del Sol. You have to. It's not a choice. But you have to do 3 of them when you're fucking on that weird little date. You have to do at least 1 with Cloud, 1 with Tifa, 1 with Aerith. And I think they have to do at least 1 other one.
Yeah, you have to do minigames. Like, yes, I understand I don't have to do everything, but like, I want to experience everything that the game developer has put into the game to get the full, to me, that's the full experience of the game. And I want to have a full understanding of the game and have a full experience of the game to be able to give my full input on the game. And to me, I don't mind if a game is 60, 70 hours long. What I do mind is once it gets to 60, 70 hours, if that is 60, 70 hours because of side content and you're still adding more and more side content, then the game starts to become bad at that point. There is a level of diminishing returns. At one point, it is good, fun content, and then even though it's not quite repetitive, it is different content, it feels repetitive because there's no reason for it. After you get done in Chapter 11 and you go to Chapter 12, you go to the next region that you're going to start at, and they tell you, oh, by the way, now that you're in this chapter, there's new quests in every region you've been to. Even the one you were just at. Even the one you just finished. There's a new side quest there. Also, if you happen to go to Costa del Sol, there's a treasure chest that wasn't there when you were first there. That now is there and adds more content. Oh, also at Costa del Sol, there's like 5 more Queen's Blood matches. Oh, also at Costa del Sol, those special Queen's Blood matches that they had at the dock, there's like 30 of those. Oh, also at the Gold Saucer, there's a new level of difficulty for the the racing, for the speed game, for the motorcycle game, for every other game you have up there, and more difficulty for Chocobo Racing, which Chocobo Racing, fucking amazing. Best feature of the game. More stuff for the combat arena. Like, why were there two battle arenas in this game? Right next to each other.
Wait, what do you mean?
So, you probably didn't do it. In the Dust Bowl, there's a battle arena.
In the Dust Bowl?
Yeah, under the Gold Saucer, that little city place. Oh, that's
right. Yeah, you can go in there. I got one of the greens from that place.
Yes. You have to do one of the missions. But there's, like, a few of them. Why do you have two battle arenas? Why did you do this?
Because one of them's fancy in the Gold Saucer, the other one's for the scum.
It was unnecessary. It's
stupid either way.
Some of the stuff they added to this game is great, but you're turning now a 30 to 40 hour game into, for the second game, I am at second game of the three of the trilogy that was originally one single game. I'm at 76 hours on this title alone. I don't remember how long it took me to beat Final Fantasy VII Remake, but I'm at
40 hour game.
Yeah. So let's just say I'm at 110, 112 hours. And I'm not even on disc 2 yet.
Yeah, no,
not
like
even on disc parts 2 of yet.
Parts of this game are definitely bloated. I have a feeling I will finish it with less time than you because I won't do everything like you are.
I know for a fact you're not going. You're probably done with everything. You're not going to do everything.
I enjoy, but I will do the towers to open up everything. I'll keep doing the summon thing and the crystal one where you just have to tap triangle at the right time.
Yeah.
And like there's a handful of other like common ones that I'll keep doing, but like I'm done with the proto relics because they're not fun and they don't add anything useful. I have no intention of going back and doing anything in the Gold Saucer. Like there's no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about getting the best weapon for these characters. Like I barely change the weapons as is because
you don't get any. That's the problem. You don't get any weapons. I've had the same weapon for Tifa. So I think the weapon I got for Tifa, I got in Gungaga, and I didn't get a new weapon for her until Nibelheim.
Yeah.
And like there's an entire region between those.
I've gotten decent weapons for some characters, but not many. And I feel like it's the characters I don't use often seem to be the ones I get weapons for.
Fucking Barret got two weapons in Gungaga.
And there's not a whole lot of reason to change weapons. Like usually they're not significantly adding anything to it.
You change weapons to get the abilities.
But that's what I mean. Like those abilities aren't often worth it. Like I don't use a lot of the weapon specific abilities other than the ones that like are doing like substantial damage because I have everything else to do the other like stuff. And I don't know about you, but most of the weapon ability area thing, I'm doing the elemental attacks because that's what fucking weakens the enemies.
No, I mean, or stuns them. No, but like that's the thing. I'll do like the elemental attack, and then once they're staggered, I'm using their other abilities. Like Yuffie has the best weapon ability called Yuffie's the best. I'm just gonna put it out there.
I like Yuffie.
Yuffie is the best character. Is the best playable character in this game. Is the best character to use in combat because she has her ninjutsu ability, which puts elemental damage to her ninjutsu attack when she doesn't have her weapon on her. Most of her weapons you can upgrade to be out to be thrown out for 25 plus seconds. So that's a long ass time. I think it's about 50 seconds that they're out for, almost a minute. So you're just sitting there with the thing out and using the elemental attack that the enemy's weakness to. And then she has Doppelganger, which she summons a doppelganger of herself and attacks twice for every attack.
I don't have that yet.
It's amazing. It's an amazing ability. Like,
I definitely don't have that one for her yet. Is that a weapon ability or is that like an unlock?
Yeah, it's a weapon ability. Like, you check her weapons.
So check I've only weapons. Gotten like, two Yuffie weapons so far.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem. Like, you don't get a lot of weapons. You go to so many different towns and cities, and you don't get that many weapons. Whereas Barret gets.
Yeah, like they're not all, like. Most of them aren't good. Like
Barret gets I'm two weapons. Barret gets two weapons in Gungaga, and then when you go to Cosmic Canyon, he gets another fucking weapon. Whereas Red maybe gets one weapon in Gungaga and one weapon in Cosmo Canyon. But, like, I don't remember him getting any weapons between Junon and Gungaga. Like,
I got at least one or two for him.
That's a thing. Like, you probably have gotten one since the beginning of the game to where you're at, or maybe two since the beginning of the game where you're at.
No, I mean, since getting to, like, Coastal, like, on this continent, I've gotten at least one or two weapons for him.
But it's just, yeah, like, it's, there's a lot of fluff. They've added a lot to this game. And I'm at the point of it is diminishing returns. Like, the second I reach Chapter 12, where you return to a region you've already been to, and it's, you're sitting here like, oh, now there's all of a sudden all these new missions in every region you've been to in the game, plus all this other additional content, I was expecting, oh, because I had looked this up, and I told you about this, the proto-relic in the Corel region, the whole mini-game with the Cactuars. You do the first two, and then they say, we'll call you when the next two are ready. And then they don't call you. And I am Chapter 12, and that's when they're supposed to call me. And so I was expecting, oh, Chapter 12, let me just do... That's what's going to unlock maybe some new stuff in the Gold Saucer. I wasn't expecting five new Queen's Blood missions and all these extra stuff in Costa del Sol and going back to every region of the game just to redo another... side quest and then, like, I'm gonna be spending another 10 hours stream this weekend doing all of that again.
Well, I mean, like, that's your choice though too,
but it is my choice, but at the same time, like, they have it in the game, might as well experience it, get the full experience of the game. This starts to turn the game into a bad game, and not a bad game, but it starts to lose its scoring to me because it's more fluff.
Yeah, and it's you have a valid argument.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying you don't have a valid argument, but, like, I'm not going to have that same experience because I'm just going to stop doing the fluff.
Yeah, you're not. But then again, like, then why put it in there if it's not going to be there for people to play? Like, if it, like, to make the argument for me, in my opinion, to make the argument you don't have to do it, then why put it in there? It's in there. You don't have to do it, but you do it because it's in there.
Because there are people that do want to do it and that don't feel that, like, drag from it.
I've talked to a lot of people that I know we all have the same excuse or same complaint of there's too many minigames. We didn't need fucking Fall Guys. We didn't need a minigame for the fucking dolphin jump. We did not need that. Why was that there?
I mean, that was always a minigame. It's just a shittier one now. I mean, it was always exactly, a shitty though. Minigame,
like,
too.
They turned a 20-second minigame into a 4-minute race that you didn't need to do. You could have just had me jump up and it would have been fine. Like, they try to expand upon things, but since you never go back and do the dolphin shit, as far as I know, maybe at this point in Chapter 12, when I go back to Junon, maybe I can, and there's, like, rewards for doing it, and it's just gonna be like, come on. And then the fucking piano shit, like, why did you make the piano so bad?
That is just harder than it should be. Like, whoever came up with that as the system for playing the piano, like, no, that was a mistake.
No.
Because it's not fun to do because you can't even really, you can't get the songs. Like, unless you spend hours getting good at, like, basically letting the analog sticks go immediately every fucking time and getting your timing perfect, like, the songs sound bad even when you're doing relatively good.
Yeah, because if you miss a chord... if you miss a note, it stops playing the song from you.
And it's not even just missing it. Even when if you're not hitting great every time, it mutes the note quicker. Yeah. So they don't ring out. And I'm like, yeah, this just sounds bad. Like, I have a gist of what it's playing just because I know the song, but, like, this sounds bad. Like, it's not good.
There's a side quest in Nibelheim where you go do things and then you go back to Tifa's room. And they're like, all right, somebody, Tifa mentions she can play the piano or something like that. And so then you're like, yeah, Tifa, go ahead, do it. And you're forced for this side mission to play the piano. You can't get out of it. You can't skip it. You have to play the piano. So then I'm sitting there stuck doing this piano thing that I absolutely hate doing. It's the one of, like, two mini games that I've stopped doing because it's that bad. It's just, yeah, this game, they have put way too much fluff into this game. And it is getting to the point of, although, yes, I'm acting in a completionist sense, it is getting to a point where it is becoming way too way too repetitive and uninteresting to do, but I've done this much at this point, I might as well do the rest. If I had gone through the game and not done any of it, then I wouldn't be too worried. But at this point, it's like, I've done them all already. Might as well finish them. That's yeah, where I'm at.
I have done almost, like, the proto-relics are the only things I haven't done. I also don't do, like, all the Queen's Blood matches, because they don't do anything for you. But like, yeah, all the stuff that pops up on the map, like, I do all of those. Mm-hmm. It's just the proto-relics that I've been skipping. But, like, I'll get to a point, and it's probably coming up soon, where, like, I'm just not going to care anymore, and I'm just going to stop doing that stuff. Like, I'll hit the towers, I'll hit the stuff that's, like, if I'm going to be going by it, I'll go do it, but I'm going to hit a point where, like, okay, well, I just want to experience the story. Doing these things does not give you some absurd amount of experience where you're getting, like, leveled to, like, you don't need all that stuff to be a level to be able to play the game.
No.
Because the game seems to just keep you kind of at the right level for everything.
Yeah. Even after doing all the side content, as I continue on to different, like, story stuff, and it's like, oh, Cloud should be at this level when you go do the story stuff, I'm still underleveled even after doing all the story, all the side content.
Yeah, so like, I'm within like a level.
But that's also because all of the side content is not combat, and you're not really getting experience for the side content. You are getting items, you are getting like accessories or different things like that, but you're not necessarily getting experience for that. And then when you're outside of doing those, I have a tendency to skip most of the battles that I can because I want to push forward and get to the next objective and get to the next objective and do the next thing and get to the next storyline. And it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a 10-hour stream of me doing Queen's Blood and all kinds of side story stuff. And I'm good. It's just, I enjoy this game, but it was probably at an 8, and now it's probably gone back down to maybe, like, at this point, it's going down from an 8. And depending on how much longer it takes me to beat it and how much longer it takes me to get the rest of everything done, it's going to continue to go lower.
Which, I mean, that's totally valid. Like, that is your experience with it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I needed to rant about that because it's just like, it feels, I get it.
You hate Final Fantasy. Yeah, like, I get it.
It's not just Final Fantasy. It was Rebirth. It was Remake. I felt that way with fucking Baldur's Gate as well. Like,
you hate video games.
A lot of Baldur's Gate, there was a lot of, like, bullshit. Like, there was a lot of side quests that, like, the return that you got and the reward you got did not make it worth it. Like, and maybe it's strictly a Final Fantasy thing and a Square thing, because Final Fantasy 15 was the same way. There was all this extra side stuff that did not make a difference.
15, like, there, or 16?
16, I mean, 16. Like, once you did, like, the side quests, they gave you, if you did the side quests, you got, like, the best weapon and stuff like that. But, like, I remember doing one of the side quests where it was like, oh, now after you did this, Jill's gonna follow you around everywhere you go. And now that you did this, Jacob's gonna follow you around everywhere you go. But I'm like, but I had them with me the whole time, so that doesn't really make a difference. It's not a reward. But then there's all, like, the summon stuff in 16, where, like, you go to the little pillar things, and it's you get an accessory to make their attacks stronger, and that was it. And it's like, oh, well, this is pointless. These things are dumb, and it's pointless, and I don't understand why you would do this, because they were a little fun, but they were more frustrating, because it was a timed event. You had to beat it in under X amount of time, and if you did not beat it, game over. Like, you lost, and it would take you 10-15 minutes to get to the last one, and then you might lose. And so it was frustrating. Like, there's a lot of Final Fantasy 16, there were no good rewards for the things you did, and so it feels like there is a lot of fluff, and that maybe this, I mean, is strictly,
there was
a final,
just no good in that game.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I think Final Fantasy 16 was a very powerful game. And it was a very good game. It was a terrible Final Fantasy game.
It was a very boring.
No, I disagree. I think I thought the story was fantastic. I had a blast playing Final Fantasy.
That's your opinion, and your opinion can be wrong.
Like, I don't recall many people complaining about the story, but it was also, I mean, you're not a big, well, no, you liked Game of Thrones, didn't you? So maybe you are. I was going to say you're not big on fantasy, but, like,
I read almost all fantasy.
Yeah. So I was completely wrong on that, which is why I didn't finish saying it. But no, I was thinking, because you hate Lord of the Rings, you hate fantasy.
No, Lord of the Rings is just fucking garbage, that's all.
But like, it's just I thought the story and everything that went on with that game was good, but then like again, there were instances in that game where like when you go or did you beat 16?
No, because I got fucking bored like 10 hours in and just I'm like, I don't want to play this anymore.
There's instances where you're learning about Ultima and everything that's going on, and there's instances where like you go up to a rock and then there's a whole exposition about it. And it ends.
Wait, the rock's like, in it?
A rock.
Oh, well, see, I'm even less interested than before now.
Well, you go up to a rock and it's like, it's Ultima like talking to you and Jacob about things. I think his brother's name was Jacob. I can't remember.
Man, if Dwayne Johnson was in the game, maybe I'd go back and fucking play it.
And then you then go up to another rock and they talk more. And it's like, well, why am I walking between rocks? There's no fights in between. Why not just do this all at once? Why not fill this all in at once? Why are you building this fluff? And it seems like that's a lot of what the fucking Square is doing anymore. And
that's game design in general in a lot of cases.
I was having a conversation with a streamer on Sunday after I raided out. And we were talking about Final Fantasies, and I told him like my favorite was Final Fantasy IX. And he was like, oh, I what if they do a remake of Final Fantasy IX? I like, what if that's the next on the list or I'm like, I don't want a remake of Final Fantasy IX. I don't want Final Fantasy IX the minigame. I want a remaster of Final Fantasy IX. If anything at all, I'll take a remaster. I want Final Fantasy IX. I don't want what we got for Final Fantasy VII. I'm happy with what we got for Final Fantasy VII, but I tell everyone that comes to me and asks me if they should play seven remake and rebirth. Or play 7, I tell them play 7 first. Definitely play 7 first. I think 7 is a better game between the three, between all of these, between 7 and the series. I think 7 is a better game, and I feel like you won't appreciate Remake and Rebirth as much if you don't have that prior knowledge of Final Fantasy 7 in and of itself. I think this game miss out a lot if you don't actually know or have ever played or understand what goes on in Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah, I think you could still enjoy the remake and rebirth, but I do think like you're right. Like you're missing a whole lot of stuff that isn't. Yeah. It's not the story is not going to hit the same way.
You can absolutely enjoy this game of its own volition, of its own self, but I think you get more of it if you know about Final Fantasy VII. For instance, I just got a summon that you'll get when you get to Cosmic Canyon. And the noise that its summon uses as it uses its ultimate ability is the same noise that they use in the original Final Fantasy VII.
Well, that's fun.
And yeah, and that to me, I'm like, that's amazing that they did that. And there's a lot of nods like that in this game. But then you have shit like Johnny.
I like Johnny.
Johnny's cool, but like other added characters. Fucking
Johnny's
Dio.
Voiced by Peter Parker.
I don't care who voices him. I don't care who voices anybody generally. I'm just saying, like, you add characters that aren't very necessary.
He was incredibly necessary. He gave us a place to stay, and he gives us a place to display all the stupid fucking knickknacks that you collect.
And then the whole, well, I mean, again, that's collectibles. That's fluff. I don't need a place to store all my collectibles. I don't play this game for collectibles. I play this game for accessories.
I don't play it for either of those, but you know, if they're going to just hand me fucking collectibles, at least I can go look at them somewhere.
But they don't really hand you collectibles. You have to buy them all from the fucking gold saucer using gold saucer points.
Oh, see, I've gotten a bunch of them that I never purchased.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you 3-star mini games, you'll get a reward. It'll mark that you 3-star said mini game. That's what it is.
I also have the Sephiroth standee from the Find All the Troops mission, or not Sephiroth, the Rufus standee from Find All the Troops.
Yeah, I have that. I didn't realize that was a reward for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the fucking wall of shame, or yeah, whatever you want to call it. But do you want to move along, since we do have another thing to record after this?
Yeah. I just needed to like be like, look, the game is starting to not be as good as I thought, just because it's taken me so long to get through it all.
Nothing but complaints from you.
It's just too much fluff.
Learn to stop doing everything. That's the solution.
It's there. Why not do it?
Because it's less fun.
It's not at first.
But now it is, so stop doing it.
But I'm basically done it.
You have another 30 hours worth of game.
Not really. But I'm basically done. At this point, there's nothing on my map except for what just came up. So yes. Why not just clear the map?
Isn't it 14 chapters?
It's 14 chapters. I'm on chapter 12.
And how many hours did you say there are?
I'm at 76 hours.
According to how long to beat, completionist is 134 hours.
That might include New Game Plus. New Game Plus in hard mode.
If you
because completionist generally means getting all the achievements and doing absolutely everything, which part of the achievements is beating the game in hard mode. That might include New Game Plus in hard mode. I have a feeling I myself have another 20 hours left. And then to beat the game without doing everything and just beating the game for the story is about another 30.
It looks like main plus extras, 81 hours average, 111 hours just kind of like the leisure, which is kind of the way that you've been playing.
Yeah, so I'm guessing so. I have upwards of another 20 or so hours.
A lot of game.
But again, main plus extras shouldn't be 100 hours. Main plus extras should be 60 hours. After that, it starts to make the game worse.
I don't know. Like, I don't disagree that, like, this game is too fluffed out, but, like, sometimes, like, that stuff's okay. Like, Persona games are usually, like, 110 hours, but, like, all of the weird fluff in that actually gives, like, it doesn't... I'm trying to think of the right way to put this.
Persona games are a social game, though. The Persona games have the social aspect and the character social aspect and things like that, to where you can play them separately. It's kind of a different, although it's an RPG, it's a different kind of game, because when it comes to Persona games, it's not just like go do the quest and you're done. It's go have relationships with these people, be social, and then also do this. And it's kind of a simulator more than just a straight up game.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but there are things that definitely are just fluff to those games. Like, there's all the go do the burger challenge and you will randomly be like complete the burger challenge. Like, it's not actually a skill based thing. Mm-hmm. And if you complete it, you get like an extra point, which then there's like four or five stats, like courage and smarts and a couple other things, charm, that you need to have those in certain quantities before you can progress certain things. So, like, that's what I mean, where, like, there's, like, fluff to those games, but at least those all are leading you to being able to do more in the game, not just there to make the game longer, like, exclusively.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the mini games, they're just there to make the game longer. They're not yeah. opening up, like, anything for you to do.
Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth are the exact... answers to there's no new idea in media, because they fucking, especially in Rebirth, they rehash a Fall Guys game in here, they rehash the fucking game Inscription in this. You've not gotten far enough in Queen's Blood to understand what I'm saying, but it basically turns into Inscription.
I mean, I don't plan on it. Like, I only play that game if, like, a quest tells me I have to.
But don't get me wrong, I enjoy Queen's Blood. I think that's one of the better things that they added into this game. I have a lot of fun with Queen's Blood, and I would not hate if they turned it into its own sort of downloadable game, or even physical game. I probably wouldn't collect it if it was a physical game, but if it was a game that I could just play with against other people, I'd be 100% for it. They'd have to figure out how, I mean, it wouldn't be too hard to figure out how to do that, because it would just... It'd be fine, but, like, still, like, I enjoy Queen's Blood, but, like, they you didn't need to put this in here.
Yeah.
You didn't need to give me an Inscription style quest line where I'm getting interrupted by videos of the creator and bullshit like that. You don't need to give me 5 minutes of conversation after every match of Queen's Blood, whether it's pertaining to the Queen's Blood story or just that own person's personal story. You don't need that. Just let me play Queen's Blood and get on my day.
I mean, that, yes, that is all true. But let's go ahead and move on to other things.
So this book, Cup.
Yeah. I read the book, The Tainted Cup, by Robert Jackson Bennett. It's like a fantasy sci-fi, like, biopunk book, I guess would be the best way to explain it. It's in a fantasy world where... there are leviathans that just kind of come out of the fucking woodwork, and they have big walls at like the coast of this country, and it's one of those almost like Attack on Titan in a way where it's there's like ringdoms essentially, mm-hmm. where the further inland you get, like the safer they are, but the richer they are. Like all the important people live in these like centralized locations. And then, like, the further out you go, the more kind of peasant-y and lower class it is, except there are the required nobles in those areas that are, like, the lesser nobles. And this book ends up being, like, a murder mystery. So it opens up where you're following following a character. His last name is like, Cole something. So he's referred to as Cole and Din, because his first name starts with Din throughout the book. And he is an assistant investigator. And he hasn't like an aug. So this is where like the biopunk comes in. He has an augmentation done to him that is all plant. All of their augmentations are like plant based that lets him remember things. Like basically gives him an eidetic memory. So he has perfect recall on anything he hears. So like if he's say reading something, he has to read it out loud. But he reads it out loud and he can recall it perfectly. Even when people are speaking to him, he actually falls into their accents sometime because he's recalling exactly how they said things and inflections and everything. And he finds out later in the book that he's actually got a muscle recall on top of that, which is a rare kind of side effect. So he ended up being very good at fencing, specifically because he just memorized the moves that he was taught, and his body just reflexively remembered how to, like, you know, like parry and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You also find out that he can't read. So all this time, he's kind of like, he's been just stumbling through these things by actually like tracing the words. Like he can read slowly, so he kind of has to go off to himself and like sound everything out. But if something is written in a language that he can't read, he's actually just been tracing it with his finger. And then he's able to like go back and just rewrite it and hand it to his boss for her to read. And he doesn't think she knows, but she's basically Sherlock Holmes in this world, like incredibly talented investigator, incredibly eccentric, and super snarky and fantastic. But like, she does a lot of stuff, like constantly wears a blindfold for like, seemingly no particular reason. And so as the book is going on, the first thing that happens is somebody dies, and they die by having a giant tree sprout out of their chest, which is weird. And so the whole book kind of just follows that thread where it's like, okay, well, this important army guy had this tree grow out of their chest. Like, who did it? And they sort of early on wrap that bit up. Like, it almost felt like that was supposed to be the main mystery. And then it's like, no. 5 chapters in, we figured this out. But like, this is leading us to something bigger, and they end up having to leave their little town that they're kind of stuck in at that point, and it ends up being this like much larger plot against the Empire, as it were, and this group basically trying to collapse the walls that keep the Leviathans out.
Mm-hmm.
And between the science fictiony stuff with like this like plant based augmentations to people. It's not all just memorization. Some people get like the physical augmentations where like they're stronger, they're faster, they're more fit. Some people can like get tracking ability, like they can basically like sniff somebody out, stuff like that. So there's a lot of like different ways that people are getting boosted, essentially. And then they're growing buildings out of plants. So like a lot of weird, interesting stuff like that. And I don't read a lot of mystery books. I think some of the whodunits, like that, like the Kenneth Branagh ones, that I'm drawing a blank on their names. They're the Agatha Christie stories with Hercule. I think those are fun, but they're more fun because of the characters and the actors that are in them than the actual murder mystery plot. Like, a lot of times I find that stuff a little dull. But in this case, like, it was all really interesting. And just the relationship between the two main characters was just great, because your main character, Din, was very, not standoffish, but he was stoic. Like, he kept a lot of stuff close to him because he was hiding a bunch of things. Like, he couldn't read. He wasn't very educated. He actually cheated to even get the position he was in. And, like, you're just slowly learning that stuff about him throughout the book. And then at the same time, you have his boss, her name was Anna, who she's actually known the whole time. She just didn't tell him she knew. And at one point when he finally decides to come clean, she's like, well, I wasn't going to fire you, but maybe now I will, because you apparently think I'm a fucking idiot. And then then goes on to break down, like, I just solved an incredibly complex case. You think I didn't know the kid who failed 12 times and then miraculously got a perfect fucking score cheated? Like, the fuck do you think I do for a living? It was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it.
Nice.
It's not cool. It's not too long of a book. I think it was like 300 or 400 pages.
Nice. Sounds good.
And fairly new. I think it actually came out back in February.
Oh, nice. That is new.
Yeah.
I'm behind on my books for the month, for the year.
Well, catch up.
I didn't read this month because I've been reading Final Fantasy VII. So
there's voice acting in that though.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I've been playing nothing but Final Fantasy. I've been pretty much my entire life has been Final Fantasy VII. So it's any free time I have is either editing what I need to edit or Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, that is actually fair. But yeah, The Tainted Cup, worth reading.
Nice. Sounds interesting. Might have to give it a shot when I have read all the books that I am currently working on reading eventually.
Yeah, and it does appear to be the first in like a series, so there's going to be another one following those, presumably those two characters in this world, which is exciting because, while like I said, the mystery was like interesting, like I was more driven by the world and the characters, and like those two things were great, and I hope to see more of them.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, and I think that will probably do it for this week.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so next week, then, we're going to have our next book club, which is Nausicaä and the Valley of the Wind, and then other than that, if you'd like to find more of our content, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with your dollars, you can go to your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, rate us, review us, subscribe to us, all of it helps. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo. And then, Rich, what is your streaming?
Twitch.tv/b_one. It's our video game streaming Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. I was originally hoping to beat Final Fantasy VII Rebirth by March 31st. It's looking more like December 31st at this moment. But yeah, so next week we'll most likely have some more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. My schedule this weekend is a little wonky because of the holiday. We'll be finishing A Way Out this upcoming Tuesday, and maybe in the next few weeks starting to play Helldivers 2. So yeah, come hang out on stream.
Nice. And other than that, you can always send us an email to social@one-quest.com. And we'll be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See yous.
Bye.